This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of the prophets and all of the messengers that were sent to mankind. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are continuing on with the Book of Manners by Imam al-Nawawi in his great book Riyadh al-Salihin, The Gardens or Gardens of the Righteous. And today, inshallah ta'ala, our focus will be on the book about the etiquette of eating. The book about the etiquette of eating. Kitabu Adab al-Ta'am. Kitabu Adab al-Ta'am. The adab, the manners that are related to al-Ta'am. Now, before I go into the ahadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included in this chapter, prior to this, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a chapter that is entitled باب استحباب تقديم اليمين بكل ما هو من باب التكريم. He said, the excellence of using the right hand for performing various good acts. Now, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he opens up this chapter with some verses from the Quran that mention the right, that mention the right or the right hand. Now, more specifically, we have the ayah in Surah Al-Haqqah, verse 19. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Here Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to the righteous people on the Day of Judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah, those who will receive their kitab, their book of deeds, their actions in their right hand. Those people, when they receive their book in their right hand, it's a glad tiding, it's a bushra for what is about to come. So by receiving it in the right hand, Allah Azza wa Jal is honoring those people. And so these people will say, ha umuqra'u kitabiyya, take, read my record. So he's very happy. Now elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in verses 8 and 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. He says, the ashab, which is the companions or the people of al-maymana. Now, the maymana is another word for yameen. Al-maymana are the people of the right. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that ashabul maymana, the people of the right, ma ashabul maymana, meaning how fortunate are the people of the right, those who receive their record in their right hand. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, he says, wa ashabul mash'amati ma ashabul mash'ama. And the mash'ama are the people who receive their record or their book with their left hand. How unfortunate are they? May Allah Azza wa Jal make me and you from amongst those who receive their record in their right hand. Amen. Now, Imam al-Nawawi in this chapter, he includes the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha that is originally found in Bukhari and Muslim. And it's the hadith whereby she says, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعْجِبُهُ التَّيَمُّنُ فِي شَأْنِهِ كُلِّ فِي طُهُورِهِ وَتَرَجُّلِهِ وَتَنَعُلِهِ. She says, Aisha, his wife, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَأَرْضَاهَا, may Allah be pleased with her, she says that the Prophet ﷺ, he liked to use his right hand in all matters, in combing his hair, in wearing his shoes. Now we have another hadith by Aisha radiallahu anha that is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Messenger of Allah was used to using his right hand for performing wudu and for eating his food, whereas he was used to using his left hand in his toilet and for other similar purposes. So what we learn from this sunnah is that when it comes to wudu, when it comes to ghusl, washing the right hand side of the body takes precedence. So you, for example, in wudu, when you're washing your arms, meaning from your fingertips to your elbows, then you wash your right hand first, then your left hand. When you're coming to do, for example, your feet, you would wash your right foot and then your left foot. But when it comes to the removal of impurities from your body, when it comes to, for example, istinja or istijmal, when purifying yourself after having relieved yourself, then the sunnah is to use your left hand. To use your left hand for the removal of impurities. Okay? There is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama regarding the siwak or brushing your teeth, because when you're brushing your teeth, you are actually removing impurities, right? But then the question is, it's also an act of worship. I mean, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he spoke about brushing your teeth or as-siwak specifically, he said, as-siwaku maqaratun lil-fam, mardatun lil-rab. That using the siwak is a means of purifying your mouth. It's maqara, it's purifying for your mouth, but it's also pleasing to Allah, so it's an act of worship. Right? So then they said, well, when it comes to siwak, that's the exception, that you know you use your right hand. And there's, like I said, there's scholarly difference of opinion. The next hadith is the hadith of Ummu Atiyyah radiallahu anha wa ardaha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us at the time of washing the dead body of his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha wa ardaha to begin with her right side. Begin, even when you're washing the dead person, begin with the right hand side and from the parts that are washed in wudu, to begin with that. So we also learn that women should wash women. Okay, women should wash women, men should wash men. The only exception would be, or the only allowable circumstance would be if a woman wanted to wash the body of her husband, that would be permissible. There is one of the madhabs who don't allow this, but the more correct opinion, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, is that a spouse may wash the body of their spouse. The hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about shoes, wearing your shoes and taking off your shoes. Now, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when any of you puts on his shoes, he should put on the right one first. Okay, so you're putting on your shoes, you start with your right. And when he takes them off, he should begin with the left. Removing shoes, subhanAllah, this is how specific Islam is. Islam regulates every aspect of our lives and has left no stone unturned. And so it regulates even, you know, which shoe to take off, which shoe to put on first, which leg, etc. So, and the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, next we have the hadith of Hafsa radiallahu anha wa ardaha. She says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to use his right hand for eating, drinking, and wearing his clothes, and used to use his left hand for other purposes. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda that is found also in Sunan Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you wear your clothes or perform wudu, begin with your right hand side. Lots of emphasis on the right hand side. Now, let's move on to the hadith of Anas. Anas radiallahu anhu arda that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Mina. Mina is one of the places that the Hujjaj visit. It's the starting point for Hajj, Mina, followed by Arafat, followed by Muzdalifah, and then back to Mecca. Now, Mina is where the Jamarat, where the stoning takes place of the pillars, where Shaytan appeared or the devil appeared before Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam when he came to slaughter his son Ismail. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Mina and he came to Jamaratul Aqaba and threw pebbles at it. After that, he went to his lodge in Mina and sacrificed. Then he called for Rababa and he pointed his right side to him. So he's pointing to the right hand side. Shave from here. Shave from here. Then he pointed to his left and said, take hair from here. Then he distributed his hair among the people, because the Prophet ﷺ's hair has got barakah. It's blessed. You know, that you can perform tabarruk, as the term is, with the hair of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in any case, even when it comes to shaving your head or cutting your hair, you know, you should be informing the baba, okay, to start with the right hand side. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we come to the book of eating, Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, the book about the etiquettes of eating. And subhanAllah, Islam really is amazing, because it really is something that, you know, who would ever think that a religion that includes the mannerisms related to relieving ourselves, which foot should go into the toilet first, which foot should come out, which hand we should eat with, wash with, how we eat. That, subhanAllah, this shows how the universality, the comprehensiveness of Islam. And hence we say it's a way of life. Now, the chapter is mentioning Bismillah before and saying Alhamdulillah after eating. Before you eat, you say Bismillah. You don't say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That's for reciting Quran. Bismillah. And likewise, when you come to slaughter an animal, it's just Bismillah. Not Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's actually not befitting to say Bismillah Ar Rahman Ar Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate, and then you slaughter an animal. The context is not correct. To say that Allah is merciful and Allah is compassionate and then you're slaughtering. Although it's still right, it's not, you know, nothing wrong with it. Islam is very sensitive to these areas. So we have the hadith of Umar ibn Salama radiallahu anhuma that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, Sammillah, wa kul biyameenik, wa kul mimma yaleek. He said to him, say Bismillah before, يعني, in other words, before eating. Eat with your right hand and eat from what is near to you. Three etiquettes there. Say Bismillah, eat with your right hand, and eat with what is in front of you. So, before you eat and before you drink, make sure you say Bismillah. If you have children, you see them eating and drinking, say, have you said Bismillah? Remind them, get them into the habit of saying Bismillah, pronouncing Allah Azza wa Jalla's name. Now, also there's another etiquette, I mean eating with your right hand, and we're going to talk about that in another hadith, but sometimes a person may be left-handed. If a person is left-handed, that's probably more so to do with their writing. It's very difficult to write with their right hand for whatever reason that is. If that is the case, that there should be no, that shouldn't prevent them from eating with their right hand. Okay, sure, you can't write, but there's no harm in eating with your right hand, drinking with your right hand. Now, let's move on to the next hadith. Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said that the Messenger of Allah said, when any of you wants to eat, he should mention the name of Allah in the beginning. In other words, say Bismillah. And if he forgets to do so in the beginning, he should say Bismillahi awwaluhu wa akhirahu. Awwaluhu wa akhirahu. Bismillahi awwaluhu wa akhirahu. So, if you forget, you know, you got carried away, being overwhelmed by the smell of the food and your hunger, you know, and then you just basically dig in and then you go, Allahu Akbar, you forgot to say Bismillah. So now, in the beginning, in the middle, you don't say just Bismillah. No, you say Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. In other words, Bismillah for the beginning portion, for the beginning part, and akhirahu for the latter part, for the end of it. Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. Okay, so remember this, because it happens to us every now and then. So Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirahu. And this hadith is found in At-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood in their Sunan. We move on now to the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu wa ardah. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if a person mentions the name of Allah upon entering his house or eating, Shaytan says, addressing his followers, you will find nowhere to spend the night and no dinner. He says, لا مبيت لكم ولا عشاء. If somebody mentions Allah's name when they enter their home and you say Bismillah, the shaytan says, don't worry about this household. There's no room for you to have any accommodation here, no accommodation for you tonight here, and there's no food for you because this person has said Bismillah. But if he enters without mentioning the name of Allah, Shaytan says, in other words to his followers, you have found a place to spend the night in. And if he does not mention the name of Allah at the time of eating, he says, you have found a place to spend the night in as well as food. So then the Shaytan will take away and rob a person or a household of barakah, of blessing. So there are ad'iyah, there are du'a, supplications that you say upon entering your home. Memorize them from Fortress of the Muslim. And one of the effective du'as, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra al-mawriji wa khayra al-makhraji, bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna wa ala rabbina tawakkalna. O Allah, I ask you for what is good of entrance and what is good for exit. With the name of Allah do we enter, and with the name of Allah do we leave. And upon our Rabb Allah have we put our trust. Always, a Muslim is always remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla. There is, subhanAllah, a supplication, a dua for almost every act that we do. When you enter your home, when you leave your home, when you ride your vehicle, when you enter the toilet, when you leave the toilet, before intimacy, when you enter the masjid, when you leave the masjid, after wudu, before yani, we have a supplication, subhanAllah, for every situation. Now, we have the hadith of Hudhayfa next, the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu wa arda. When we attended a meal with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not stretch forth our hands towards the food until he would start eating first. Once we were with him when a little girl rushed in as if someone was impelling her. She was about to lay her hand on the food when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught her hand. Then a Bedouin came in rushing in as if someone were pushing him. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught his hand also, and he said, Satan considers that food lawful for him on which the name of Allah is not mentioned. So he, Satan, brought this girl to make the food lawful through her, but I caught her hand. Then he brought the Bedouin to make it lawful through him, but I caught his hand too. By him in whose hand my soul is, now Satan's hand is in my grasp along with their hands. Then he mentioned the name of Allah and began to eat. So Shaytan is wants to eat from that meal, and he pushes people, compels them, so that they don't say Bismillah, and then, because if they don't say Bismillah, then he can eat. We move on, inshallah ta'ala, to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was eating with his six companions, his six sahaba, when a desert Arab came and ate up the food in two mouthfuls. There were six of them present, and yet this man, he comes out of nowhere and he eats it all up in two mouthfuls. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, had he mentioned the name of Allah, it would have sufficed for all of you. So the barakah was now removed because the name of Allah azza wa jalla wasn't mentioned. So the pronouncement, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of Allah's name, brings, it's what brings the blessing to the meal. Okay? It brings the blessing, and otherwise, not pronouncing it or omitting Allah Azza wa Jalla's name, it robs the blessing, takes it away. The next hadith is the hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. He reports that whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finished a meal, he would say, Alhamdulillahi kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi ghayra makfiyin wala muwadda'in wala mustaghnan anhu rabbuna. This dua is basically all praises due to Allah, praise which is abundant, pure and full of blessings, which is indispensable and to which one cannot be indifferent. Now there is another hadith, a simpler hadith, and by saying this hadith, after you finish eating, all of your sins get wiped away. Of course, this is in reference to your day-to-day sins, your minor sins, because major sins, you need to repent through sincere repentance and the conditions of tawbah. Putting a stop, having remorse and regret, intending not to do it again. So the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Anas radiallahu anhu wa arda, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man akala ta'aman," whoever eats ta'am food, faqal, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." So the actual dua is this: Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa. If you say this dua upon completion of eating, your past sins are forgiven. And this hadith, it translates, all praise is due to Allah who has given me food to eat and provided it without any endeavor on my part or any power. All his past sins will be forgiven. The next chapter that he has included in the book of manners related to, or the etiquettes of eating, he says, the prohibition of criticizing food. Don't criticize food. It's not from the adab, from the etiquettes. Let's listen to some hadiths. Here we have the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never found fault with food. If he had inclination to eating it, he would eat. And if he disliked it, he would leave it. So if he had the inclination to eat, he would eat it. If he didn't like it, khalas, he didn't eat it. He didn't sit there and complain, "Oh, I don't like this, not my preferred food. You know, take it away. Why did you cook this today, Mom? Why did you cook this today? Why? You know, you should know better," and start to criticize the food. And this is not from the adab and the etiquette of Islam. You don't like, you don't want to eat it, just refrain from eating it. And then we have the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu wa arda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked for sauce and was told that there was nothing except vinegar. He asked for it and began to eat from it, saying, "How excellent is vinegar when eaten as sauce. How excellent is vinegar when eaten as udan." This hadith really throws light on the simplicity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's a very important word as Muslims, to be simple. And we also see the humility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding food, and how he would readily eat whatever was available to him. Even if he didn't like it, he just refrained from it, didn't complain. Now, this next hadith is in a chapter that Imam al-Nawawi, he entitled "Response to an Invitation Extended to a Man Observing Fasting or Sawm." This is a common question that some Muslims ask, that if I am fasting, and here by fasting we are referring to what? To voluntary fasting, optional fasting, not fasting of Ramadan. But if you are fasting, say Monday or a Thursday, you get invited to a walima. You get invited to a feast. Well, from the adab and the etiquettes of Islam is that you attend the walima, or you answer the invitation, you respond to the invitation. But what do you do if you're fasting? Well, this next hadith gives us the response. And it's the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa anhu, and it's found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا دُعِيَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجِبْ فَإِنْ كَانَ صَائِمًا فَلْيُصَلِّ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُفْطِرًا فَلْيَطْعَمْ. He said, when any of you is invited to a meal, he should accept the invitation. That's the first thing, accept it. If he is observing Sawm, he should supplicate for the betterment of the host, and if he is not fasting, he should eat. But the ulama said, because it's optional fast, you have two options. You still attend, but you have the option to break your fast and eat from that feast, or you have the option not to break your fast, but at the very least, make dua for your host. Make dua, supplicate for your host, saying things like, Ma Allah Azza wa Jal, bless his wealth, bless her wealth, bless his health, bless his family. Barakallahu laka fi ahlika, or barakallahu laka fi malika. So, make dua for this person. He thought of you, you think of him as well. So, again, we see how the Sharia permits a person to break a voluntary fast. And we see the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how it clearly showed that it's not binding, yani, to keep your fast. So you can break a voluntary fast, okay? But you should not refuse to attend, you know? You should not refuse to attend. The only time you should refuse really to attend a feast, you know, a feast where you've been invited to, or a walima, or such a gathering, is if there is haram committed there. So if, for example, there is, you know, free mixing, very liberal free mixing of the sexes or the genders, there is, you know, music being played, haram taking place, then don't respond to that invitation. That would be an exception. Okay, and advise that person and remind them, admonish them not to attend that not to go ahead even with this. The next chapter that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala included, he entitles it, What Should One Say to the Host If an Uninvited Person Is Accompanied with an Invited Person? So, you know, sometimes you're invited. You're invited to a feast, to a wedding feast, a aqiqah, whatever it may be. Now the sunnah is to go. You might have somebody with you at the time. And he might say to you, oh, do you mind if I come along with you? Well, he hasn't been invited, has he? So what does Islam say? Islam says you can bring him along with you. When you get to the host, you say to the host, look, I have this person with me. Do you mind if he comes in? Now, if he does mind, that person shouldn't get offended. Because that person has his reasons. Whatever reasons it might be. It might be not enough food. It might be that, you know, something else. Now the hadith here is the hadith of Abi Mas'ud al-Badri radiallahu anhu qal. He said that a man prepared some food especially for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and invited him along with four others. But a man accompanied him. Having arrived at the door, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the host, this person has followed us. You may allow him if you like, and if you like, he will return. So he said, the Messenger of Allah, I allow him too. And the hadith is found in Bukhari. It's also found in Muslim. So it will be considered an expression of bad manners if somebody participates in a feast as an uninvited guest. And this happens. People just invite themselves, help themselves. You know, don't help yourself. Yani, introduce yourself to the host and say, look, I've come along. I'm very excited about this party. I hear, you know, this halal party. And I hear you have some good, fine food. And I'd love to take part in it. And then it's up. If he rejects you, alhamdulillah, just walk away. Okay? No fuss, please. The next hadith, or the next chapter, Imam al-Nawawi entitles this chapter in this book of etiquettes of eating, eating from what is in front of what is in front of one, or what is in front of you. And here we have the hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim originally. It's the hadith of Umar ibn Salama radiallahu anhu, or anhuma, who reported, I was with a boy under the care of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as my hand used to wander around in the dish, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me once, he said, Ya ghulam, oh young boy, Ya ghulam. He said, Sammi Allah ta'ala. In other words, Sammi Allah, it's an injunction or the command to say Bismillah. Sammi Allah ta'ala. وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ and eat with your right. وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ eat with your right and eat from what is in front of you. So we have to be observant when it comes to our children and how they are eating, and are they observing the Islamic manners and etiquettes of eating. Now when it comes to eating from what is in front of you, yes, in some cultures, for example, you might have a big plate of rice, for example, and some meat mixed with some meat. And so the sunnah here, because it's all one dish, you eat from what is in front of you. Don't eat from that side and that side. Just eat from what, gather from what is in front of you. That's the sunnah. Now the only exception of being able to eat from different parts of the dish is if, for example, you have a mixed platter. Again, whether it's seafood, whether it's pastries, whether it's fruit. Now here you can take from different sides of the plate, because there is an invitation to eat from different types, different sides of the plate. Okay, so keep that in mind, inshallah ta'ala. Another hadith. This hadith contains a miracle, an interesting hadith. It's the hadith of Salama ibn al-Aqwa radiyallahu anhu. He reported on the authority of his father that a man ate with his left hand in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereupon he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, kul bi yamin, eat with your right. So that man, out of pride, he said, la astati'a, I can't do that, la astati'a. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry, became upset at this person's attitude. And he said, لَسْتَطَعْتَ, which means, may you not be able to do so. If you're doing so out of pride, may you never be able to eat with your right. So, it was vanity that prevented him from doing that. And he could not raise his right hand up to his mouth afterwards. He was never able then to ever raise his right hand up to his mouth. He can only eat with the left. So here we see a miracle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose supplications, whose dua were instantly answered. Now here we have another chapter. Inshallah ta'ala, we have another chapter. What should a person say or do when he eats but he is not satisfied? Here we have Wahshi ibn Harb radiallahu anhu reported, some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah said, we eat but we are not satisfied. We eat but we are not, our hunger is not quenched. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps you eat separately. The companions replied in the affirmative. They said, yeah, we do, we eat separately. And so he said, eat together and mention the name of Allah over your food, it will be blessed for you. So part of the blessing of food and part of getting full is you eat together. Eat together. You know, in the West they have a saying, the family that eats together stays together. SubhanAllah, we have this in the Sunnah. Eating together, not eating alone. So it's one should endeavor to always eat with somebody else, there is more barakah, and make sure you say Bismillah. The next chapter is eating from the side of the vessel. I know we've touched on that, but it's the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, blessing descends upon food in its middle. So eat from the sides of the vessel and do not eat from its middle. The hadith is found in Sunnah Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. And this next hadith pretty much tells us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat to eat. And in part of this hadith, it says, the Messenger of Allah sat down on his knees and rested on the soles of his feet. So if you just imagine the Prophet tucking in his lower legs, sitting on his knees, and now his buttocks is on his heels, on the soles of his feet. A Bedouin said to him, what sort of sitting is that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, verily, Allah has made me a courteous slave, not a fierce tyrant. Inna Allah ja'alani 'abdan kariman wa lam yaj'alni jabbaran 'alida. It shows again the simplicity and the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in how he ate. He didn't sit back reclining, okay? He wasn't aggressive, he wasn't a tyrant, he wasn't in any way out to show off. The next hadith is the undesirability of eating in a reclining posture. And here we have the hadith that is found in Bukhari, the hadith of Abu Juhayfa, Wahab ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I do not eat reclining. In other words, against the pillar. Doesn't sit back and recline. La akulu muttaki'an. La akulu muttaki'an. Inclined. Now there is some difference of opinion of what is meant by the reclining here, but Ibn Hajar radiallahu anhu, or rahimahullah, the commentator of the Sahih al-Bukhari, he says that one should sit with the right knee drawn up and the left one bent down. That's one of the etiquettes that has been mentioned of eating, where you're sitting down and your right knee is now up against you and your left foot is down, bent down. And he says here, Anas reported, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eating some dates while sitting on his buttocks with his legs raised. The next chapter is the excellence of eating with three fingers and licking them. And by three fingers, we mean the thumb, the index finger, and the middle finger. So here, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, reported the Messenger of Allah, he said, when one of you finishes eating, he should not wipe his fingers until he has licked them himself, or has given them to someone else to lick for him. Now, what does this mean? Okay, the hadith is authentic. It's found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, before we go into that, let me mention the next hadith. Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam eating with three fingers. Okay, and licking them after having finished the food. Now, here, licking the fingers, before washing them or wiping them with a towel, because again, you don't know where the barakah, with the meal there is a blessing, somewhere in the meal. You don't know where it is. So the sunnah is to lick them or to have someone else lick them. And here, what they've mentioned is someone like your wife, like your son, okay, or a very close friend, provided he or she feels no aversion to doing that. If you have it in your nafs, you have an aversion to that, if you feel like, they're not going to do it and I can't have someone else doing that, that's okay. There's no obligation. Okay? You're not obligated, okay, inshallah. But it is there for you to enjoy. Now, regarding that, actually, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, or he commanded the licking of the fingers and the cleaning of the dish. Okay, amara بلعق الأصابع. لعق is the licking of the fingers. والصحفة. وقال إنكم لا تدرون في أي طعامكم البركة. You don't know whether baraka or the ta'an is. That's why it's done. Okay. Also, by the way, regarding eating with fingers, there has been studies that shows that when you eat with your fingers, there is something that is produced, some oils that are produced from your fingers, and when you eat and it goes into your digestive system, it actually helps with the digestion. It's actually been proven scientifically as well. So there is barakah, subhanAllah, there is a barakah with eating with your fingers and eating with your hands, but more specifically with the three fingers. Okay? As for food that drops to the ground, you know, this is another question. What do we do with food that drops? There's a hadith about this. Jabir radiallahu anhu, Allah reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, when a morsel of any of you falls, he should pick it up, remove any of the dirt on it, and then eat it. And should not leave it for the shaitan, nor should wipe his hand with a towel until he has licked his fingers, for he does not know in what portion of the food the blessing lies. The next hadith, and again, it goes to show the humility of Islam, the humility of the Prophet ﷺ and his teachings. Jabir radiallahu anhu wa ta'ala reported that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, Shaytan appears at everything done by you. He appears even at one's dinner. When a morsel of you falls, he should pick it up and remove any dirt on it, then eat it. He should not leave it for shaitan, nor should he wipe his hand with a towel until he has licked his fingers, for he does not know in what portion of the food the blessing lies. So again, so many hadiths regarding the licking of the fingers and eating with your fingers and removing any harm if the food falls to the ground. The next chapter is the merit of sharing food. The merit of sharing food. Here we have the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda, originally found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "طعام الاثنين كافي الثلاثة وطعام الثلاثة كافي الأربعة." He said, "The food of two persons, the food of two people, suffices or is sufficient for three people." And the food of three people suffices for four persons. Okay? And in another narration, the food of one person suffices for two, the food of two suffices for four, and the food of four suffices for eight. So always one meal is sufficient for two people. Okay, you can always, if someone serves you a meal, you can actually share that and that's enough. That one meal, you can actually share it. The etiquette of drinking water. Now we have a hadith here. Anas radiallahu anhu reported the Prophet ﷺ, he used to breathe three times in the course of a drink. And so he used to drink in three gulps. So the sunnah, if you're drinking, let's say you poured yourself a glass of water, then it's not just to scull it or to just drink it all at once. The sunnah is to have it in three gulps. So you drink, breathe, and drink. And then breathe. Okay? So, three gulps. This is the sunnah. Three breaths to be taken with regards to this. Another hadith, do not drink in one gulp like a camel, but in two or three. In other words, two or three gulps. Mention the name of Allah. In other words, say Bismillah. And when you start drinking and praise Him, say Alhamdulillah, after you have finished, in other words, after you have finished drinking, this hadith is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The next hadith, Prophet ﷺ forbade breathing into the vessel while drinking. So if you're drinking from a vessel, then don't breathe into it. And you might have an illness. Okay? So again, being considerate that someone might pick up that vessel and drink from it. Okay, vessels, any vessel, you might have a vessel and you put some water in it and then you leave it on the kitchen bench or on the dining table and then someone sees the water and then they're going to take it to drink because they don't mind drinking from other members of the family. But so don't breathe into it. Okay? Now, the next hadith answers another very important question that some people have If you have some people in a gathering, who should be served first? Who do you serve first? Who do you offer the drink to first, or the food to first? Or you have some visitors. Hadith Anas radiallahu anhu reported, milk mixed with water was brought to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his right side was sitting a Bedouin, and on his left was who? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we know the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, the best friend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first Khalifa. He drank from it and handed the rest to the Bedouin, saying, "One who is on the right has preference. Then again, the one who is on the right." So when you are handing something over to someone, you're in a circle, you're sitting around, you hand it to the right. Irrespective of who that person next to you is. Even though it may be your father, your mother, your son, a close companion, friend, you go to the right. And if you are hosting your visitors and you come with a tray of drink or food, and you come to offer, you always start from the right. You work your way around from the right. This is the sunnah and the etiquette of doing this. We have another hadith, also in Bukhari and Muslim. A drink was brought to the Messenger of Allah and he drank some from it. On his right was a boy, and on his left were some elderly people. So again, young boy, elderly. Who would you give it to first? But who was on his right? The boy. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the boy, "Would you permit me to give the rest of this drink to these on my left?" So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to give it to the people on his left because they are older, out of respect to them. But the sunnah is to go with the right. So what did he do? He sought the permission of the boy, saying, "Look, do you mind if I give to them? You have the priority, but do you mind if I give to them?" Now listen to what the boy said, very clever boy. He said, "A messenger of Allah, I would certainly not give preference to anyone in anything that might come to me from you. So I want to take the drink. You've just drank from it, I'm going to go for it. I want it." So you know, you can make an offer for it to be handed over to the left. So the Prophet ﷺ, he handed over the rest of the drink to him. Okay, moving on to the next hadith, or the next chapter, the undesirability of drinking directly from the mouth of a water skin, or in our case, in our days, from the bottle. Drinking directly from the mouth. And the Prophet ﷺ, he forbade turning the water skin upside down and drinking directly from its mouth. Okay, for obvious reasons. The next hadith, the undesirability of blowing into the vessel while drinking. So let's say, for example, you have a vessel and there's something on it and you want to blow it away. It's undesirable to do this. Based on the hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu reported the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us from breathing into the drinking vessel or blowing onto the vessel. The next hadith, or the next chapter, the permission to drink while in a standing posture. So that's another common question. Are we allowed to drink standing, or must we drink sitting? Now we have the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda. He reported, I serve Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zamzam water, the holy water of Zamzam, to drink, and he drank it while he was standing. Now there is another hadith, Anas radiallahu anhu wa Allah reported, the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from drinking while standing. Qatada reported, we asked him, "What about eating?" He said, "That is even worse." Or maybe he said, "More detestable." And another narration is, a messenger of Allah reprimanded us for drinking while standing. Now when we have a look at and analyze these ahadith, we see that the sunnah is as follows. That when it comes to Zamzam water, because it's a blessed water, there is wisdom behind drinking it standing, and how it will, yani, go.